We have caught up with Joe Hanley from Asian Access to just kind of get a follow-up on what's happening in Sri Lanka in the aftermath of the Easter Sunday bombings. A lot of things that have been coming across have been spreading a lot of conflicting reports. So we're just kind of coming to you and saying, what's actually happening there? And, you know, we'd heard at some point that there was a social media blackout and wondering about where that is right now.
Sure. Thank you, Ruth. Yeah, there's a lot of mixed reports. And so what I'm going to give you is just the best I can discern so far. It's a mixture of latest news as well as on the ground reads. But those on the ground are first to admit that, you know, they're not sure. There's a lot of rumors. And so we'll just keep doing our best to try to report as best as we can. What I've seen is that there's over 350 people, 359 people that have died and more than 500 injured, but the numbers just keep growing. There was they think they've identified the attackers, which is an Islamic terrorist group, local jihadists. But they're pretty confident that that group could not have done this on their own accord. So they're pretty sure that an outside group was influencing them, probably IS. So that's kind of the background to the information. Unfortunately, the government has admitted to being warned about the situation, but their internal agencies were not reporting everything. In fact, some of them say intentionally not reporting things. But what's behind that, we're not sure. I know that those I'm talking to are very disappointed in their government overall. At this point, we do know the police have detained more than 70 people, and they're still looking into things. There's still ongoing fear in the country. Curfews and social media ban is still in place, although I'm sometimes seeing my friends interact on social media and sometimes getting little bits and tidbits of information. So the blackout must not be completely active, although it's clear that the amount of activity that they're able to do is very limited. So it must be on and off. I still hear news that the curfews are ongoing, and then there's just tons of rumors flying in the country. They still think there's bombs and explosives and detonators found in and around the city of Colombo. There's rumors that vehicles are driving with explosives in them. So there's a lot of fear. And my friends are saying the country is in real, true turmoil, and they're desperate for our prayers. People in the two churches, the Negombo and Batacola, that have been killed are connected to Asian Access through many friendships. So this has really affected the evangelical community in a deep, deep way. People are angry. They're fearful. In fact, this weekend, the people we know have canceled all the church services this next Sunday because the government and Indian intelligence have confirmed that there is another terrorist attack being planned. So you can imagine the situation. People are trying to stay away from the main city as much as possible. So there's a significant amount of anxiety and fear. And yet, despite all that fear, they're still standing boldly in the love of Christ. They want to be agents of Jesus to shine light into their country. And they want to emulate the Prince of Peace and desire to be models of hope for their nation. But as you can tell with all the fear and rumors, it's not easy. They've been shaken and they don't know if they can trust their government. So that's the latest situation as far as I can discern.
So, you know, I think there's some question marks about how you have an Islamic terrorist group with so much influence in the country, when before it was something entirely different. The Tamil Tigers were just something different.
Right. So that war was very different. You have a very minority group of Muslims in the country. So the Tamils and the Sinhalese were really a fight between ethnic groups that had very little to do with kind of the religious sides of things. With this particular Islamic jihadist group, it was a very small, group in the nation, but police were getting reports that that group was starting to foment action, and there wasn't a lot being done to quell that. But what they think now is that the outside groups like IS have been influencing that group, and it's clear that the types of attacks that were done were not the types that were typically done by the Tamils or the corresponding war between the Sinhalese and the Tamils. This is an entirely different type of warfare, and they're pretty confident it came from outside, and likely signs point to IS.
So how can we be praying? I mean, there's not a lot that the average listener can do to speak into the situation. What does the body of Christ in Sri Lanka want the body of Christ outside of their country to be thinking about and doing?
So there are three ways that you can help. Number one is prayer. In fact, one of the best resources we have is from an Asian Access Council of Reference member. People can look up his link online. It's on our website. Ajith Fernando, who was the head of Sri Lanka's Youth for Christ for many, many decades, and is now still a member of them. He's one of our reference council members, and he's put out a post telling us how we can pray. It's an excellent post, encouraging prayer. In addition to prayer, if you know people, even despite the social media block and the internet blocks, go ahead and send notes of encouragement to your friends, because I think some of them are getting through. Certainly some of my my interactions are getting through. Not all the time, but they're getting through. So please encourage them. And then please give to help those in need, and especially empower the leaders in the midst of the crisis. For those who want to help out through Asian Access, we have a unique opportunity. We'll be helping with both tangible aid requests as they come from the ground. In addition to that, developing a new robust way to truly empower leaders that are facing persecution. If you go to our site, asianaccess.org, you can see a matching gift opportunity. We have a generous friend who's put up $167,000 that we can match, and then it'll go to the persecuted church, and it'll go to meet tangible needs that we're hearing about on a regular basis. So please help out. You can pray, you can give, and you can send notes of encouragement.